This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right. Looking into some international news, Deutsche Bank, which I believe is the largest bank in Germany, is in trouble, and they are going through something very radical to save themselves. They're going to cut about 18,000 jobs. This is about one-fifth of their workforce. The first casualty was actually the investment banking chief, Garth Ritchie.
So the Deutsche Bank CEO, Christian Sewing, is taking restructuring charges of about 7.4 billion euros, which is about 8.3 billion US dollars, by 2022 to pay for an overhaul, which will shrink the bank. And the German bank also confirmed that they would close down its loss-making equities trading business and shrink its bonds and rates trading operation. We're looking at restructuring costs, which will likely push the bank into second quarter net loss of about 2.8 billion euros.
Now, what is interesting is Deutsche Bank is moving away from its mission to be the Goldman Sachs of Europe, which is an investment bank, and instead it's going back to its roots, which is focusing more on German and European corporate clients and domestic retail banking, also looking at private wealth management, which is something most banks have been going into because the margins are very good. Now, some other points in the Deutsche's plan, headcount of 74,000 by 2022, currently 91,500. It will also be cutting risk-weighted assets by about 40% in affected businesses. There will be no dividends paid until 2020. Meanwhile, it will invest 4 billion euros in improving controls by 2022 and create a fourth division known as the Corporate Bank. Private banking is also a key initiative, and they will be targeting to achieve a return on equity of above 12%. Meanwhile, it will also be looking at cutting expenditure quite significantly to just 17 billion euros.
So I think the stock trading business, even when you are servicing fund manager, has been a low margin business for a long time. Fund managers are really cutting costs given the low cost investment trend, right? A lot of people shifting their money into index funds and ETFs and so on. And therefore, even in Malaysia, Xiaoning, I think the brokers have found a hard time to grow their revenues.
Definitely. And it's also compounded by the fact that corporate market activity has been very slow. There hasn't been much mergers and acquisitions or even initial public offerings in Europe and Germany. I think the other issue is that Deutsche Bank in particular also suffered during the financial crisis of 2008, but somehow never seemed to take the bitter medicine until today. You're talking about 2019. Unlike the likes of your Goldman Sachs and your JP Morgan,
Citibank and so
Citibank,
on.
Who also suffered in 2008, but have emerged much stronger players with much better balance sheets. So kind of pushing out these German banks or European banks out of the global investment banking market.
Yeah, but they're creating that the so-called bad bank, right? Mm-hmm. This is along the lines of what Tabung Haji did as well in creating that SPV. Just to take out the really terrible loans within the books and putting it into these bad banks. And investors have received it quite positively because since that announcement, the share price has actually jumped by about 20%.
Yeah, so I mean, they dub it as a capital release unit, which comprises about, I think, 74 billion euros of risk-weighted assets, equivalent to about 288 billion euros of leverage exposure on the balance sheet. And this is expected to, you know, with an asset disposal which will allow them to return about 5 billion euros to their shareholders via, as you mentioned, special dividend or share buyback from 2022.
Yeah, from a shareholder perspective or as a prospective shareholder, you really like this kind of entity where you can see the core business, which of course Deutsche Bank is reverting back to its roots, which is commercial banking, wealth management, fund management, things like that, versus the bad assets, right, the toxic assets. So you can monitor their progress on both levels. And then especially if they continue to reduce the toxic assets, comes down quarter on quarter, that'll be good for the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So and I guess that's also why share price has gone up.
Yeah, it also improves their loan book quality, which allows them to lend out more. Otherwise, those bad loans will be stuck in there and would actually stop them from lending out. And interestingly, there are a lot of these kinds of investors of distressed debt. I mean, if you're
Mike Milken was the famous one in the 1990s.
Junk bonds,
junk bond king.
say you lent out $1 and the debt right now is worth 10 cents. Actually, there's a lot of investors out there who would want to make a quick buck out of this. Now, let's look at the other company who may or may not be trying to make a big buck out of the trade tension. Samsung Electronics have warned that it expected second quarter profits to fall to half, actually, compared to the same period last year. This is because of the struggling chip business, which is impacted by the trade tensions that are going on right now.
Yeah, so the revenue is expected to fall to about 4.2% to 56 trillion won. And we will probably know the final results later this month. And this is due to the plunging demand for memory chips, which has been exacerbated by the trade war. And some, as we all know, Samsung is the world's largest producer of memory chips, where 75% of its operating profit in 2018 came from chip sales. We're not talking just about the phones. Half of their products revenues are coming from the chip sector.
But as bad as this seems, analysts are still expecting operating profit of about 6 trillion won and revenue of 54 trillion won for the quarter. But they also expect, analysts say, that the South Korean-based company benefited from the weaker-than-expected domestic currency in the last quarter. So they're expecting a one-time bump in earnings, which is just exceptional forex. But from compensation fees from Apple, which Samsung Organic Light, emitting diode displays in some of its iPhones, and Samsung is currently the dominant producer of these OLED panels in smartphones.
Yeah, they actually have about 95% market share over there, and the Chinese are actually pouring a lot of money into display, and this will give Samsung a good run for its money, challenging its position. I think earlier on as well, we were talking about the angle that Huawei's loss will be Samsung's gain, but apparently not, because the restrictions on Huawei have flooded the markets with chips, right? And therefore, that also impacted Samsung's position.
There are just basically no winners in this trade war, right, it seems. I mean, whether you're a beneficiary of a substitution effect, even that will be eroded with time as growth falters. I think in terms of Samsung, they are trying to diversify their earnings, and one of which, of course, is their smartphones. So they are expected to launch their Galaxy Note 10 next month. But the question is there still interest in this phone? Because it is more difficult for Samsung now to distinguish the Note from its other phones. It's just a question of like the supply, the display screens. They're all kind of all looking the same. So it's a question whether they can dominate this market.
Yeah, I think they also have to deal with the very cozy relationship that the big chaebols in South Korea have with the government, because Samsung last year was involved, or actually 2016 was involved in the corruption scandal with the president. And therefore, that is something that the country as a whole is looking into. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.